The word of the Lord that we set our hearts to this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 4. We'll read the first four verses. This is what the Apostle Paul writes, again, as he is waiting in prison for his trial and for what judgment he might receive for sharing the word of God. It's all about the contentment that he has. This is what Paul writes. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. This is the word of the Lord. So as you heard, we are finishing up this series on Philippians. We're walking through the book of Philippians under the theme Certainties in Uncertain Times, and we're finishing it up this week and next week as we finish up chapter 4 from the book of Philippians. And we're looking at gratitude, a specific aspect of gratitude. Contentment is really our focus for this morning. Paul amazingly writes how we should all be content and how he was content. Even while he's sitting there in prison and waiting to find out what's going to happen to him, he could write about contentment without any anxiety or fear. Now, that's pretty amazing. Do you think you could respond that same way in those circumstances? Do you have contentment and peace in your hearts no matter what the circumstances? Those are just a couple of the questions we're going to consider then this morning as we look at these words from Paul in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to consider 3 points this morning. First off, the changes of circumstances. Secondly, responses to circumstances. And finally, contentment despite circumstances. All right, so let's do that. Let's start with the changes of circumstances. There are moments throughout history that have absolutely changed and affected the world greatly. A few examples. December 7th, 1941, Japan secretly attacked Pearl Harbor without a moment's notice, and it changed the world forever. And it changed the lives of many, many Americans. In fact, the family members of over 2,000 Americans were informed that their lives would never be the same, as they would never see their loved ones alive again. That was a moment and a circumstance that changed the world forever. Maybe a little bit more recently, September 11th, 2001, maybe you remember this. Maybe you still have images like this etched in your mind. Maybe you remember exactly where you were when you heard about it. Maybe you can still imagine that plane filled with innocent people, innocent civilians, being just plummeted right into that building. And then maybe you even still remember and can hear the screams of people in your own head. You can hear them screaming as they see those amazing structures just crumbling to the ground, taking the lives of everyone inside. Another moment, another circumstance in history that changed the world forever. All right, maybe one more circumstance, a little bit less gloomy, but still affected the world greatly. In 2008 and 2009, there was a severe recession that took place, and it led to a loss of a great amount of wealth. Americans, the household net worth dropped over $10 trillion in just a couple of years. Now, again, that's nothing like a terrorist attack or a military attack, but it still affected the world greatly. Depression and anxiety rose greatly in America and around the world. And in fact, suicide rates, they skyrocketed as well. Another circumstance that affected the world greatly. You know, there are certain moments and times in history that affect the world in unbelievable ways. And it can happen without a moment's notice. It doesn't always go from good to bad, though. Sometimes there are some good things that happen in our lives that affect us greatly. Like winning the lottery. I can imagine that would change someone's life greatly in just a short little moment. Finding out that you have a child on the way. That changes things greatly, doesn't it? What have we learned? If anything, over the last few months, maybe you've learned that. You've learned that the circumstances of life, they are very uncertain. They can change in a moment's notice. They can go from good to bad, and they can go from bad to good. But one thing is for certain. We live in an uncertain world, and the circumstances are constantly changing. And so an important question for you to ask yourselves and think about is, how will you respond to those changing circumstances? Will your attitude, will your contentment change as those circumstances change? You know, that didn't happen for Paul. His circumstances changed, no doubt, but his attitude didn't. Just think, 10 years before he wrote this letter to the Philippians, he found himself in the city of Philippi and planting a church there. He was there doing what God wanted him to do, sharing the message of Christ, helping people out. And while he was there, a little girl who was demon-possessed came up to him, and he did what no one else could do. He cast that demon out of that little girl. And what was the payment that he received for this? He was beaten, and he was thrown into prison just for doing the work of God. You can imagine that if you were in that position, maybe your attitude would change a little bit. I know mine would. It's reasonable to think that Paul would be a little bit downcast after going there and doing God's work and then just being beaten and thrown into prison and humiliated for it. But his attitude and his contentment didn't change one bit. We read this from Acts chapter 16. It says this, about midnight, Paul and Silas, who was there with him, were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Paul's circumstances, they were pretty gloomy, and yet he and Silas were singing hymns of praise to God. The circumstances of being beaten and having scars that would remain on his back for a lifetime, the circumstances of being humiliated and thrown into prison didn't change his attitude or his contentment in any way. And what about 10 years later now, as Paul is writing this letter to the Philippian church that he planted? He found himself in similar circumstances. In prison, and he was actually relying on people to provide for him at that time. You'd imagine he maybe had a lot of anxiety, but it seems as though he didn't. His attitude and his contentment didn't change one bit. In fact, this is what he says. It says that he was quite simply content. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. If you found yourself in his circumstances, would you be the one there encouraging other people, reminding them that they had so much to look forward to, reminding them they could still have joy and rejoice in their hearts because of what God had done for them? Unfortunately, our attitude often changes with the changing circumstances. Our contentment shifts as our lives shift. And so it's so important for us to make this personal and ask ourselves why that is. So friends, why is that? What is it that changes your attitude? What is it that affects your contentment as you live in this world? Maybe it's your job. Certainly many jobs, most jobs have shifted or changed in their scope over the last few months. Maybe it's affected you greatly and has even changed the arc of your career, your promotion, all kinds of things like that. Maybe it's not your job. Maybe it's the goals for life that you've had. Maybe you aren't quite where you thought you would be 10 years ago. Maybe you don't have that dream home yet or that boat. Maybe you just aren't where you want it to be. Maybe it's your health, worrying about your health or what might happen to you, or maybe the health of your loved ones, what might happen to them. Or maybe it's the fact that in just a little over 2 weeks, we're going to have an election that's going to determine the outcome of the next 4 years, and maybe you are worried about who's going to be in power for the next 4 years, and maybe you're just worried about what's going to happen in the next few weeks. Friends, it's so important for us to ask this question. What are the earthly circumstances that upset or change your attitude and your contentment? What earthly circumstances affect your attitude and your contentment? Now, whatever your answer is, whatever you fill in the blank to that question, that's the thing that you're really relying on. That's the thing that you've maybe even elevated to an idol, a god. And that's the thing that unfortunately is going to affect you greatly. It's the thing that's going to sap the joy and the peace and the contentment out of your heart as it changes. Friends, if you rely on the things of this world for your contentment and your peace, then you are relying on things that shift and change in a moment's notice. And that means that your contentment and your peace and your attitude, it is going to shift and change in a moment's notice. But it doesn't have to. Your attitude and your contentment, it doesn't have to shift and change with the world's circumstances. How is that possible to remain content and have that same attitude at all times? Well, just consider Paul. Here's what Paul says right after he thanks the Philippians for sending him aid and providing for him. Right after he thanks them for their gift, he says, I'm not saying this. I'm not saying thank you because I am in need. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul is saying that his contentment is independent of the circumstances of his life. And even though he is absolutely grateful for the gift that the Philippians sent to him, he's saying that even if you didn't send this gift, even if you didn't provide for me, I would still be content. I would still be happy. How is that possible? Well, he says that he had already learned the secret of contentment at this point in his life. He had learned that secret. And actually, the phrase that's used there for learning the secret of contentment is really the idea of an initiation process. He was initiated into contentment. Let me give you an example of maybe the idea behind that. We all go through these moments of initiation throughout our life where we learn things. So for example, I remember the first day I ever roofed was an initiation day. 6 hours, it was just a short day of 6 hours of roofing, but 6 hours straight of tearing shingles off a roof and then climbing down and filling up these heavy-duty garbage bins filled with shingles weighing, you know, upwards of 100 pounds, and then hoisting it on your shoulder and then shoving it over a 6-foot garbage dumpster. That was exhausting, doing that for 6 hours straight. And I remember thinking, I don't know how my body made it through this. But a few weeks or even months later, you learn. You learn that your body can handle a lot. You get initiated into that. Or, you know, maybe you even remember that growing up with sports. Maybe you remember doing those two-a-days with football and how exhausting it is. Or I remember in soccer, we had three-a-days for soccer and how exhausted and sore my body could actually feel. But I survived. Right, we go through these moments that are very difficult in life, and then we realize that we can handle it. That's the idea of the initiation that Paul's talking about here. But he's not necessarily talking about physical initiation and what our bodies can handle. He's more talking about spiritual initiation and what we can handle spiritually. And he had gone through quite a bit in his life. You see, God promised that he would be with Paul and that he would bless all of his work as he shared the word of God. But then, after God promised that, he allowed Paul to go through a lot. He was beaten on more than one occasion. He was thrown into prison on more than one occasion. He was persecuted and humiliated, all for sharing the word of God. God let all of those things happen to Paul, but there's one thing that he never did to Paul. He never left him. He never abandoned Paul. He was always by his side. You see, Paul says that if he was on his own, he would have broken. He never would have made it. But the fact that he survived and he made it through all of this is due to one fact, that God remained there with him. God gave him strength to make it through all of these moments of initiation. And he says the only way he could do that was because Christ was there with him. And so he says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Friends, what is it that you have learned in these last few months of uncertainty? As you see a world filled with division and unrest and anger and hatred, has your attitude shifted? Has your contentment gone up and down with these changing times? Or are you beginning to learn contentment through these hard times? You know, the only way to learn contentment is to go through those difficult times, just like Paul went through, but to still see that Christ, just like he remained with Paul, he remains with you and is by your side, even in the worst of times. As life changes, there is one thing that doesn't change, and that is God's promise and his commitment to you. You know, we learn about how our commitment and how our attitude, it changes throughout these difficult times, and then we learn that we do rely on the wrong things at times, don't we? But one of the things that we learn as we look at Jesus is we learn that his attitude and his commitment, it never changed no matter what circumstances he went through. The nails that were pounded through his hands and feet, the scars that will be on his back till the day that we see him, those things didn't change the way Jesus felt about you or his commitment to you. The emotional abandonment that he received from his disciples as they left him for dead, the abandonment that he received from his own Father in heaven, none of those things changed Jesus' commitment to you. None of those things made him come down from that cross. No, he remained the same, and he remained up on that cross in order to continue and to complete his act of paying for every last one of our sins. Because he's done that, we know that he continues to be by our side, fighting for us and remaining with us no matter what circumstances we face in this world. In 2008, there was this French money manager who lost $1.4 billion in Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme. He wasn't able to deal with the consequences. It was too severe of a circumstance for him to handle, and so he took his own life. Now compare that to a man I recently heard about, a man named Bill, who he became a Christian just before, a few years before 2008. And I recently heard him talk about how that affected him. He said that had that recession come just a few years earlier, before he became a Christian, he didn't think he would have made it through. He says that he probably would have ended up like that French money manager. And so this highly successful businessman, Bill, he said something that will probably stick with me for quite some time. He said, "Throughout this recession, I have lost more money than you could possibly imagine. And I haven't been happier in my entire life." You see, he had learned what Paul had learned. He had learned the secret of being content, that no matter what happened to him, his Savior would remain by his side in any and every circumstance. Friends, the circumstances of life are uncertain. They change. They go from bad to good, and they go from good to bad in just a moment's notice. And so when you build your life around the circumstances of life, then your attitude and your contentment will change with those circumstances. So rely on something that doesn't shift. Rely on a God who doesn't change or shift the way he feels about you. Trust in the God who is just as committed now as he was 2,000 years ago when he gave his own son up just for you. Get strength from the one who continues to fight for you still to this day. And find contentment no matter what circumstances you face. Amen.